What are the chances of getting the wives back on the podcast?
Yours, I think it would be 100%.
Yeah, Jennifer's not afraid. What about Lindsay? You know,
so much.
A lot of
such a great job. Yeah, a lot of ask all the time.
People are asking all the time, like, when are the wives going to be back on? When are the wives going
to
be back on?
Well, you know, I mean, I try to keep Lindsay in the kitchen. Okay, I mean, just like know your role. Go get in the kitchen. Make me a sandwich. No, I'm just kidding. she listens to every podcast, so that's a great. She listens every Monday. Nah, I mean, it's funny, man. We talked about it a couple episodes ago, and you talk about how, you know, leading a group stretches you. You know, leading her small group of sixth grade girls and seventh grade girls and the eighth grade girls now has stretched her, and baptizing people and having to say it because she's baptized, you know, probably 20 girls up there at least, you know.
Is she really?
Oh, yeah. You know, and helping them lead them to Christ. So, I mean, I would say that she's overqualified. I mean, she's so good at it. And she's the best. She's the one person in my life, I can tell you this, she has a direct channel to God in prayer. Like, we've talked about spiritual gifts in the past, too. She's got it.
Had the gift of intercession.
It's unbelievable. Like, it's crazy cool. Like, to watch because I'll be like, will you pray for my body to get better? Like, she's like, I don't think that's really a prayer that I want to pray. I'm like, I'm just saying, like, give me a six-pack of abs, get shredded. I was like, you got a direct line. Like, hook a brother up with some abs. And she said no.
But pray for my balls.
I mean,
I've been praying a prayer circle around.
It is a prayer circle.
Nothing's happening. I need to borrow some of Lindsay's faith.
But it might take some recruiting. You might need to get Miss Jennifer, First Lady. Might need to.
Yeah.
That might be a First Lady conversation to get Lindsay back on. But I think it would be great.
Yeah, Jennifer has a way of getting people to do things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to turn her down.
It'd be great, but it'd be great to hear, like, the opposite side, too, of how annoying we are, like, and how to deal with difficult husbands.
Yeah, well, they bring such a wisdom and female perspective, so, yeah, we'll get the wives. Can we do that, Woj? Get the wives back on the podcast?
Good luck.
Pretty on it, yes.
All the ladies out there listening are saying yes. So, I want to talk today about the refiner's fire. And going through
the fire.
So 2 Timothy, we've been in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. And he talks to Timothy about being strong in the grace. And so he doesn't say, Timothy, toughen up. Timothy, cowboy up. Timothy, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Be strong in God's grace. And then the passage of scripture, when I think about God's grace, because I pray this every Sunday, is that God's grace would be sufficient for me. When I'm weak, he is strong. And the apostle Paul, he said, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And so this is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The context of the passage there is Paul's referring to a thorn
in the flesh.
Yep. So he's got this thorn in the flesh. We're not sure what it was, but he's asking God to take it away. And God's answer is, I'm not going to take it away, but my grace is what I can get you through it. Let's talk a little bit about...
Be strong in God's grace.
Be strong in God's grace. Like, do you have a thorn in your flesh? I mean, do you feel like you've got something that is a thorn in the flesh for you?
A weakness
or a challenge or a difficulty?
I think a bunch. I think I got a bunch of them. I think my brain and the way it's wired is very, like, go-getter. But the structure behind it isn't always the best, and the organization behind it. Mm-hmm. Isn't always the best. So, like, I think I'm really good at kind of go, but I'm also not good at, like, which direction to go a lot of the time. So you can probably run in the wrong direction. So that's definitely something I'm not good at. I'm not overly compassionate. I think that's something that an area that I lack in big time. Like, I got to do a better job of being compassionate. I'm overly opinionated sometimes, bullheaded, stubborn. How long you got? How long do we have for the, I mean, I think there's a bunch of things that I'm really bad at that I struggle with consistently.
Yeah. I think we all have a thorn in the flesh. We all go through difficult seasons of life. We all go through, and we talked about this at church, a refiner's fire, that God allows things to happen to us. We're not happy. It's never pleasant when God is disciplining us, but he disciplines us because he loves us. And we go through trials because trials test our faith. It says in James that consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And so you think about, I mean, even in sports, the whole like working out and working hard and persevering and not giving up, and all that sports teaches you, developing your character, developing just your resilience, your endurance, and he says here in 2 Timothy that we're to endure suffering, and he uses three examples: a soldier, a farmer, and an athlete. There's the hard work, there's the discipline, there's the perseverance, there's the enduring. So what do you think about this whole idea of being in the refiner's fire, or God allowing us to go through trials because it's ultimately good for us in the end?
I mean, I don't understand what life would look like without it. There would be no need for God. I mean, if we all were great.
Because you would be self-sufficient.
We'd be self-sufficient. There'd be no reliance.
There'd be no need to.
I don't need God. Yeah. I mean, everything's great. Everything's good all the time. Everything goes the way I want it to be and the way it's planned. I just don't think it. That's not a realistic world here on Earth. And
it's almost as if God set it up that way.
It's weird, huh? but I don't know. Like, how cool is it for you in your life that, like, wait, and I can speak for me personally. Like, when I'm going through that stuff, man, God, I feel the closest to God always. Like, I can feel his presence. And if I didn't need it, and if I didn't have that, I wouldn't feel his presence as much. Like, I feel it, man. When I'm going through something and I know I need him, like, I have to have him to get through this. This is hard. This hurts. Like, this stings. I need you, Lord, to intervene. I need your guidance. Like, how awesome is that? That when you're in your lowest point, when you have those moments where you have doubt and you have hurt and you have pain, that he comes in and he fills you back up. And he fills you back up with hope. And he fills you back up with love. And he fills you back up with you're enough. Like, you're good enough. You don't need anything else. You don't need anything more. Like, I just don't know that. I don't know. I just don't know that there is a faith without that. Like, that is the most crucial part of my faith. That's where I've learned the most in my faith and in my journey, is when I get stung and when things hurt.
It's when you pray the most.
Yeah.
Because whenever. And you've mentioned this before, but when everything's just rolling and you're in cruise control and you don't think about as much, you don't see God as much, but
I got it.
Yeah, it's like,
I got this.
Yeah.
I'm good. Just normal day. I can do it. No big deal. I've done this job. I've done this. I've done that. I've got it. That's literally how you go through the day, is like, everything's easy. Everything I have this under control.
So I would definitely characterize this season of your life as a trial. Like,
oh, yeah.
You're going through a difficult time, a trial, a season of life. And what are some things you're doing to persevere, to make it through this? You know, and you've often heard people say you're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or you're about to go into a storm. And so I would say you're in a storm. Like, you're in a challenging season of life, and you're really seeking God and evaluating, hey, where do we go from here?
I would challenge you on the verbiage of that, because I don't think I'm in a challenging position, like a state. Like, I don't think, because of what we just talked about, mm-hmm. I'm not worried about it at all. I'm not challenged at all, because I'm more reliant. Like, I'm more reliant on God for my next steps than I ever have been, because I rode the bicycle and I thought I was doing what I was going to do for the next whatever amount of years, but that's been removed. And so I'm more reliant, but I don't, again, people ask all the time, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, I don't know that there are good people. There are that good of people out there, but I haven't experienced a lot of bad that wasn't good. 99% of the time of anything that's happened in my life, the bad that comes in, it leads to ultimate good. So just like when we were talking weeks and weeks ago, and I said, what would marriages look like if we took divorce off the table? More would be successful. What would walks with God look like if you took bad off the table? If you took negative off the table? If you took anxiety, fear, worry off the table because you know that it is for my good? This is just a season. This is something that I need to experience to get to where he's got me next. And I'm not saying it doesn't require faith, guys. Like, I'm not saying it's always going to be easy, because there's some bad things that happen. Like, there's some really bad things that happen. And talking to a small group, like, you could come in our small group, and there's a couple that has lost a baby. I can't imagine. But you know what I do know? That couple has ministered to more people that have lost babies and made them and helped them experience what God has in their life and experience joy and experience hard things in that time. That those parents' walk is a lot stronger with God than it was. Like, so if we took every situation and the bad things that happen and we take that off the table, it's not bad, it's necessary. It's needed. Like, for me to rely on God, for me to take it take my faith to another level, to do more good in this world, like, this is a step in that direction.
So you're not necessarily viewing this as a bad thing that's happened to you. It's really more of a God's rerouting, God's redirecting, and you're trying to figure out, okay, why is he allowing this to happen? What's the purpose of it? And then where is he?
It's like a GPS recalculating, right?
You missed the turn,
bro. Like, what's next? 100%. That's 100% how I look at it. It's an awesome thing. Like, what's next? I don't know. Just like a lot of us don't know our next steps a lot of times. But if we know that God is in control, then we know that those steps are directed. Those steps are taken care of.
Do you think you're responding to this better now than you would have if this happened 10 years ago?
Oh, 100%. I think I'm responding to it better because I've already been through it too. And I've already understood what it takes and what it means and what God means for it in my life. Like, I've seen it walk through. I've seen it carried out in my life. And so I think it's just like we've talked about in developing and growing and getting older as a Christian and having faith. Like, I think your faith continues to grow. Your confidence continues to grow. You know, you continue to develop those fruits of your spirit in your life that you know, like, beyond. I know things in my life that I used to look at people and immediately take a snapshot and judge them and think I know X, Y, and Z. And then, you know, I had to pray for it. I had to pray to change it. I had to pray to make a change and be very cognizant of what I thought, what I said, and God takes it and he changes it. And it's the same thing with this situation. I was never a worrier. I was never a big anxiety guy. But I do think that here's something to that effect, because we did a small group on it, and I'll hit it real quick. Like, think about those moments in your life that you've had that were really, really bad, like that were awful. The worst moments you've had. I can think your daughter being in a car wreck. Mm-hmm. Like, that's probably one of the scariest moments you've ever had. Okay. So you're telling me you're a person that's filled with worry and fear and anxiety about your day-to-day stuff. That's worry. That's fear. When you drive up beside your daughter and you don't know if she's alive. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a reason to be fear. That's a reason to have fear. That's a reason to be, like, shook a little bit. But day to day, like, the things that we choose to empower, give power over us and stuff and worry about, that's not fear. Like, we have to do a better job of controlling those emotions. Like, you can take a the small group people that lives in a child, like, that's a real deal. Like, that's the real deal. That's the hard thing. There's a reason to have probably some anxiety, some fear. But are we really, are these little things that come up that we choose to give fear to and give into and anxiety and stuff like that? Those aren't situations to me.
Yeah. I think what's interesting is, to your point, you've been through this before, you're going through it again. So Jennifer and I were meeting with a young couple the other night that have been through some difficult times, and it caused them to lose their confidence. It caused them to not want to jump back into serving God in ministry, kind of like And we're just going to take a break right now and kind of see what happens, and then eventually, and then I think there's some I'm going to say brilliance or whatever to that. It's just wise to kind of take a break and recalibrate, not dive right back in. And they were asking us, because we've been through some difficult times in ministry as well, but I'm better because of it. Like, I'm a better pastor, I'm a better leader, I'm a better person because of the difficult times we go through. And the thing that I share with the husband is, I know this really feels hard right now, but you're going to go through this again. this is just the beginning. Like, this may be the first difficult thing you've been through. And Jennifer and I have been through 4 or 5 different challenging situations. But I do think with experience and with wisdom, you're able to respond better to the situation as you get older, as you get more mature. And then you realize that some things aren't as big a deal as you think they are, as you get older. Because something we thought was a big deal 20 years ago, well, if we could, it's almost like we couldn't handle what happened, say, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, but because we had the faith. And
you see that with your marriage too, though, like things you let go that you couldn't have let go back in the day that you would have turned into a huge argument or a huge deal. And now you're like, not important.
Yeah.
Right. But I think worry, fear, hurt, anxiety, struggle, that's a town. That's a small town that you visit, but you don't stay long. Like, that's not a place that you stay for a long period of time. You visit, and then you get through it. You don't make it a habit of hanging around and staying in that town. Now we go and we start to build. And how do we climb a mountain? One step at a time, right? Like, you got to start going and moving and getting out of that town, as opposed to sometimes I think we choose to dwell in it. We choose to feel it, and when we want to feel it more and more, instead of doing the next thing, right? Like, what's the next thing I can do to get back on track, right?
I've had some guys in my discipleship group go through these, I guess, battles with depression, and finding themselves in a really dark place. And the positive is both of them have reached out to our small group to help them. Hey, we're here for you. We're praying for you. And it's interesting because, like, one of the guys, he didn't want to come to the discipleship group the other night. He just wanted to stay in his bedroom and be by himself. And one of the other guys in our group spoke some truth in him, said, well, that's what the enemy wants.
Yep.
The enemy wants you to be isolated. And I think if anyone's listening out there who you're going through depression, you have some mental health challenges, you're kind of not yourself, you do not need to isolate yourself. You need to get around the right kinds of people who can encourage you and speak life into you.
Yeah, right.
And it's interesting that this guy, he's like, he can't really describe what he's going through, but he's like not himself.
And this is real. Like, this is real stuff. Like, I think that, I think there's a difference between being anxious and worrying, like, and full-blown, like, panic attacks and anxiety and depression. Like, people have this stuff that they 100% deal with. But, in the Bible, it's mentioned more than 365 verses, by the way, which I don't think it's a secret, is fear not. Like, fear. Like, it's going to be a big part of our life. Like, fear is going to be a big part. And you're going to experience it in all kinds. And when you have children, you'll experience it at a new level and a different level. And it's always going to be there. But I love what you said. That's a great example. Is I think that the first thing you think of is when you have those bad moments is nobody will get this. Nobody will understand. I'm different. I'm weird. Like, this is horrifying to tell people. But when you take any situation, when we take it and we start to bring in the light, though, what happens, man? It starts to disappear. Mm-hmm. Like, when we bring it to the light. Like, and I think there's a couple ways when you do have those feelings. Like, do you pray? Is praying something that you can consistently do, that you can consistently remind yourself? Like, that's the first step, man. Like, can I pray? Can I bring it to God so I can kind of calm my mind? I can calm down. I can pray. I can bring it to other people who are good, godly people, because there's just something about saying it out loud. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you say something out loud, it's just, it's like, oh yeah, that hit a little bit different when I audibly hear it. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just something about sharing it and then with the right people that will not pour gas on it, but again, now direct me in scripture, start to direct me in that direction. Man, that's how you start the process, I think, of dealing with it.
Well, if you never share it with anyone, you're not admitting it. And so this the brutal honesty, but because when you share it with someone, then you're admitting, okay, there's a problem here. And if you never share it with anyone, you can't take those steps towards healing, those steps towards recovery. One of the misconceptions that people have in the Christian life is that following Jesus, we're never going to have any pain or suffering. Like, but I think that's what, and maybe the enemy would want us to believe that because, hey, all I've got to do is put my faith in Jesus, and then my life's going to be roses. It's going to be peaches and cream, and everything's going to be perfect for me. But that's not what the Bible says. Like, if you look at the story of the Bible, we go all the way back to Cain and Abel. I mean, Abel didn't do anything wrong. He gives his sacrifice acceptable to God, and what's he getting? He gets killed, like his brother Abel. I mean, Cain takes his life, and that is life. Life is full of hard knocks. Life is full of, you know, peaks and valleys and ups and downs. And if you look at just different story after story after story in the Bible, just because they were following Jesus didn't mean their life was easy.
It was harder a lot of times, yeah.
And more dangerous. I mean, John the Baptist, I mean, he was beheaded. Oof. All the disciples died a martyr's death except for John, who was exiled to the...
He probably died a worse death.
Island of... Yeah, his was long suffering.
Mr. Wilson.
So, he's true. So, you're a movie guy.
Delirious on an island. Yeah, I know that one.
Quoting movies.
I know that one.
So, I don't know, going through... difficult times. And in the passage, he talks about a farmer, a soldier, an athlete. So there is this enduring, there's this persevering, there's this the developing character. I know you're big on that with your kids and with your players, that hard work, discipline, you reap what you sow, persevering to the end.
Yeah, I mean, those are characteristics that, if you think about it, like there's it's a hard thing to learn except through sport. It's a hard thing to learn except through hard work with farming. Like, that's something that you had to do that was hard. It was difficult. Like, it required a lot of manual labor. It required a lot of energy. And I think it's a great way for them to learn those lessons that otherwise you don't really learn. I mean, I just think if you don't ever do anything that's hard, you don't learn how to fail, right? Like, if you don't ever do anything as a team, you don't learn how to fail and handle adversity because of somebody else. I mean, I didn't do that. They did that. Well, yeah, it's great. I'm running because they did it. You know, I mean, there's got to be accountability, and we've talked about that before in the past too. But it's no different with your walk and with your life. You want people around you that will hold you accountable. I mean, if you want people around you that tell you you do great all the time and you're the best thing ever, like, you'll have at it. But that's not a life that's going to be a life that's going to challenge you. That's not a life that's going to help you refine and get better and keep pushing on to the next level and being the best version of you. That's a content, complacent version of you that, sure, I'm good. Like, I'm fine. I'm doing good right here where I'm at. Well, I mean, I think God wants us to continue to grow. God wants us to have those disciplines. And by the way, it doesn't look the same as an athlete and as a farmer, but they're the spiritual disciplines that come with learning and growing. And you want to grow, you want to become more patient? Pray for more patience. Be still more often. Like, I think he'll give you those answers, but we got to know the playbook, right? Like, we got to know the Bible first. And that's what I talk to my small group all the time. I'm like, you know, we want our kids to become X, Y, and Z. We want them to be successful. We want them to be Christians. Well, do they know the Word of God? Like, that's a great starting place. If they know the Word of God and they know what the Bible says about these situations that happen, then now they're starting to have a chance for success. What do they say about the next situation? What do they say about the next situation? They can arm themselves with that, man. When bad things happen, they're going to be a lot further down the road. They're going to be ready for those things if they know that the storms are if or when, not if. If they know to build their house on the right foundation, when those storms come, I'm going to be okay. Like, we've talked about it with Nicholas. Like, that's what he says now all the time with everybody's good. You know, I mean, that's awesome. Like, because that's right. It is. There's something good in this. Like, well, let's take what we can out of this, but stay positive and know that he's in control. And things that we can control.
Yeah, the storms of life are going to come. The wind's going to blow. The water's going to rise. There's going to be difficulty. You mentioned building your house on the rock. You know, the foundation of Jesus Christ and His Word. One of the things that I think is challenging for us, as we see over and over again in the Scriptures, is, as you mentioned, patience, waiting on the Lord. We want things to happen so quickly. And it's like I see these promises in Scripture. I'm claiming these promises, and it's like I want them to happen today. And I think about the farmer. You know, he's planting that crop, and he tills the soil, and he works the soil, and he plants the seeds, and he waters the seeds. He's praying for rain. He's praying for sunlight. But there is this waiting period for the harvest, and I think it's so easy to want to rush God or want to see results quicker. But some things in life, it just can take some time until we see. And the character development takes a lot of time.
Well, and I think that what you just said, I'll change the analogy a little bit, but you said the farmer, he's going to plant the soil or, you know, fix the soil, pick the weeds, lay the seed, bring the water, but they can't bring the sunshine. Only God can bring the sunshine. But you can do all your part, right? Like you can do all the other stuff to make sure that you're in the best position to succeed. But in the end, God's going to bring the sunshine. Mm-hmm. He's going to make the things happen or make the things not happen that aren't supposed to happen. And listen, our society is, we get everything so fast now. Now that we have iPhones and everything is instant gratification, it's hard for us nowadays to accept that things take time, because we can send an email like that. We can send a text like that. We didn't live in those times, man. And in that book, man, life was a slow, slow pace. You talked about it weeks ago. You could get to anywhere fast that you could just walk to. Like, there wasn't a lot of hustle and bustle. There is a lot of hustle and bustle now. And busyness is it's funny. People wear busyness sometimes as a, like, kind of badge of honor, when I think it's horrible. Like, I think busyness is the opposite of a badge of honor. I think it's actually one of the worst things we can do, is we're always running from this thing to the next thing to the next thing. Like, do you ever think about it when you say, how are you? Man, I'm busy. When people say, how are you? I was just so busy. Is that good? I don't think that's good. Like, I think we have to purposely make sure that we slow things down, and we have time for things in our lives that are important. We make time for things that are important, and we make sure those things are a priority. And then we kind of have to do a good job of eliminating the things that aren't, which is difficult. But the society is noise, noise, noise. It's busy, busy, busy. It's do, do, do. And I think the best thing for us a lot of times is being able to sit back and say, I got to wait. Like, I got to be still. And in those moments where we get knocked back and we have to do that, those are a huge blessing. Those are awesome. Those are great moments that, like, to me, that, like, in this moment for me, I want to stay in it until I'm ready to move on. Like, I want to be in it. Like, that's a great place to be, that I don't know what's next, but you do. And it's all good.
Yeah, when you're in the refiner's fire, God is, He's molding you. He's shaping you. It's kind of, He's the potter, we're the clay. And he has a purpose and a plan. There's a purpose in the pain, and we don't know what it is, but we have to trust and keep our faith, you know, the verse says that trials test our faith and develop our perseverance and character, which leads to hope. And so we're hoping and trusting that he has a purpose in this. He has a plan in what we're going through.
Thank you for listening to this week's Family Goals podcast with David Pollack and Pastor Jay. It really hit me when David said, there would be no need for God if there were no trials or hard times. We wouldn't be desperate for a savior or for strength or for refuge. There would be no need for a hiding place or comfort. We go through trials and tribulations because God wants us to seek him as our rock and our safe place. He wants us to rely on his strength and not our own. He wants us to cry out to him when we cannot do it on our own. This is the relationship that God wants with us. And all the hard times are to refine us and to grow us and mold us into the man or woman of God that he created us to be. Seek God in the valley so he can carry your burdens for you. His grace is sufficient for us all. If you found this episode helpful, encouraging, or entertaining, please let us know by subscribing to the podcast or by writing a review. You can also reach us on Instagram and Twitter @FamilyGoalsPod. Thank you again for listening to the Family Goals Podcast, and we'll catch you next week.